This is Tyson Chandler of the Phoenix Suns. Listen to Your Suns Rise this season on the BS of the Suns podcast.
Welcome back to the BS of the Sun podcast. This is Jim Kochenour, and with me tonight is Sean Sullivan. We're going to recap all the happenings from the Suns media day that took place yesterday. Dave King is on hiatus. He is supposed to be at a baseball game. I'm guessing it's maybe with his children, but I think he's actually emailing us right now from his iPhone. So I'm calling out Dave. I think, Dave, that you are not doing your fatherly duties very well if you are on your phone during the ball game. So there you go, Dave. Sean, how are you doing tonight? I'm sure you never do that if you're at your kids at a ball game, do you?
Oh, no, never. I'm always completely attentive. I never watch sports when they're around. I'm 100% father all the time.
You know, Dave brought up this story about, like, a father that takes his daughter fishing, and she catches a fish, and then the rest of the day she's on her phone. He's talking about, yeah, well, why did you lose interest? I thought we were having fun. And then the daughter's like, oh, well, I took the picture and I was sharing it on my tweets and Instagram and on Facebook, and I was talking to my friends about how much fun I was having. And I'm wondering if the role reversal isn't that his daughter took Dave fishing and Dave was actually the one on Instagram and Twitter and everything like that all day. Can you see that? See? Now we see what the role reversal comes. It is. You see how it's circularity there. Circular. Just like the Suns with how their seasons have gone with media days recently and results. It's all circular. You never know how things are going to go. Expectations start low, expectations start high, and the Suns always seem to end up in the same place with that 13th pick. But this year at media day, I think the biggest story was Markieff Morris heading into that. How was Markieff Morris going to act? How was he going to, you know, was he going to turn this media day into a circus? Was he going to be contrite? And the Suns wasted no time. They put Markieff right up on the podium. And what did you think about what Markieff had to say, Sean?
Well, you know, throughout this entire process, Markieff, the one constant was that Markieff promised that regardless of what happened, he would be a professional. We kind of joked around, and a lot of people laughed that off about the irony of that statement. But he held true to form. He kept his word, and yesterday he was a complete professional. He said all the right things. He said what everyone wanted to hear. And, you know, whether it was sincere or not, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. So I guess I'll give him that.
He did. I think he took his lumps pretty well. He got up there. He didn't want to talk about any of the stuff from this summer, and that's understandable, and I kind of give him a pass on that. I don't think it is probably reasonable coming right off of that on the front end to really get into that. I don't think that he wanted to do that. I don't think the Suns really wanted him to do that either for that matter and turn this into a train wreck and a big Q&A with Markieff Morris the whole day and dominate the focus. But you know, I don't think that really what happened there changes much. I think, and you saw Markieff a little bit, and he was still kind of having a little bit of a good time with his teammates and stuff. I don't think Markieff has a problem with any of those guys. I think that the problem is between Markieff and the front office, however you want to lump that group together, whether it's Ryan, and most of it I'm sure is Ryan. He's the head of the spear there, but Ryan Lawn and the other people working in there in the organization, that he doesn't trust. We've heard that word before, you know, the trust with the Suns front office and this gap in communication there. And I think that's still where the problem lies. And I think you're probably on the same page with me, Sean. Do you agree that's the take that you got, that Markieff's going to probably be fine with his teammates, stuff like that, but that he still has a problem with the Suns organization?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think that was kind of telling yesterday during his press conference when, you know, he was asked about the players. He said he was happy to be back with the players, happy to be with the team. He talked about how happy he was that Tyson Chandler was going to be joining the team. He talked about how confident he was in Jeff Hornacek. The only slight blip in the entire performance was when one of the reporters asked, and what about Ryan McDonough? And, of course, Markieff said, well, you'll have to ask him. So I think that without saying anything negative, I think that was his way of saying, look, I'll talk about the team. I'll talk about the coach. Don't even think about asking me about ownership, management, front office. You know, you can tell he's still upset. And, you know, I guess anybody would be if you had your twin brother traded from the team. But, you know, that's just something that either Markieff's going to have to deal with for now, or maybe he's just being on his best behavior because he knows that if he can continue to act like a professional, the Suns might have a better chance of finding the right trade to move him as he has requested in the past.
And I would hope that somebody is at least giving that advice to Markieff, that there might be some tacit understanding or at least that it's in his best interest, like you said, to try to keep his head down and do his job. And that does give him the best chance of getting moved out of the situation if that's what he still wants, because I think the Suns have taken their position in this sword in a wall situation. There's no good alternative for them necessarily, but I think that they've obviously chosen that they're not just going to acquiesce to Markieff's temper tantrum and trade him for nothing, because I think that sets a bad precedent, that sets a bad standard, and this front office isn't willing to do that. So if he can gain some trade equity by not causing a stir this season, then that would give the Suns maybe the option to move him if the right deal comes down the line. So I do agree with that. Now, what was interesting, and I don't know if you heard this, but in separate interviews, you talked about Markieff saying that you'd have to ask Ryan about that. Well, later, I was with Ryan, and we were talking about whether the lines of communication are open and whether there's a good back and forth or the players feel open coming and talking to the front office. And Ryan said, well, I think so, but you have to ask the players. Now, were you there when Ryan did that?
You know, some of those, I talked to Ryan as well, and I can't remember if that was the same conversation that I had with him. He said something similar to that, so it's possible.
So you have Markieff basically saying, well, you have to ask him, and then you have Ryan kind of saying, well, you have to ask him. And I think that when you kind of mix that together, they're saying the same types of things. You can tell that everything hasn't been laid to rest, that there still is a little bit of tension in that situation. And the way we've heard the Suns talk about it, and Ryan didn't really change his stance from before to media day, is basically saying that, hey, this is how we conduct our operations, our business. You know, we have to move people, we make decisions, we have to make trades. We don't always have time to advise people of what's happening ahead of time, to let them know what we're going to do ahead of time. You know, these things happen really quick. Sometimes you have to make these snap decisions, and people's feelings are going to get hurt, and, you know, sometimes that happens. And was that basically the same message that you thought that you heard from Ryan, that basically the Suns are taking the approach that, hey, we didn't do anything wrong, and this is kind of a Markieff situation, not a Suns doing business badly situation?
Yeah, I did. And I think for all of the praise that McDonough gets for, you know, his asset management or his search for a star, he is starting to possibly get a little bit of blowback because of his, you know, treating of players as just an asset and not people. And I don't think he necessarily is coming across in a bad way or a negative way, but I did get the sense from him that, look, I'm not going to apologize for trying to make this team better. And if I have to make moves that some people don't like, even people on this team, that's not going to stop me. Personally, I like that approach. I think that is the correct approach. The only thing I would say, and I think this is what you were hinting at as well, is that if you're going to have that type of attitude, you need to make sure that you are communicating with the players and letting them know, look, it's not personal. I understand if you're upset. You know, and at least being honest and having an open conversation with them. But it seems like the Suns have had a lot of miscues in the communication department over the past year, or maybe even more, that have led to some hurt feelings and just, you know, bad parting of ways, you know, especially with Dragic and now Markieff, who's still here, but is very upset, or was at least. So, you know, I don't think that McDonough is doing anything wrong. I just think that there is a communication breakdown that needs to be addressed somewhere, somehow. But I will give it to the Suns. I thought they handled this situation very well, especially yesterday. It was a very tumultuous situation. It could have gone a lot of different ways, but I think they addressed it head on. They had Markieff get up on the podium right away. They didn't let it linger. They didn't ignore the elephant in the room. They put him right there and had him say what he was going to say, which also leads me to believe, by the way, that the management and Markieff kind of talked about this beforehand and came to an agreement that Markieff was going to be professional and possibly that it would work in both of their best interests if he did that.
Yeah, I think that they definitely had some kind of understanding heading into that. And people didn't know how it was going to work. We knew that Markieff was back in town for his court appearance, and we knew that he stuck around and was training at Grand Canyon University instead of at the state at, what is it, the Talking Stick Resort Arena now with his teammates. So we weren't sure how things were going to work because obviously he'd been in town, and why wasn't he just working out at the arena, this type of stuff. You know, I thought it was funny. You talked about that, and Markieff, he got stuck on that word super and super confident and super this. And then when McDonough took the podium right after that, and somebody asked him, I forget the exact question, but basically something about like his, you know, his capabilities, what he thought of his ability to be a GM, something like that. And Ryan responded, well, I'm super confident in my ability to be the GM of this team. And I kind of threw it back, and that was worth a little bit of a laugh. But, you know, I almost think sometimes with and not that I'm saying that Ryan doesn't have the basketball knowledge, because obviously he does that, but I get the feeling that if Ryan had his way, he'd prefer to run this like a football team, like an NFL team where you have non-guaranteed contracts, where players are a little bit more disposable, and you can just work it. Because football, I think, to me, is much more of an asset collection type of sport. And you see some of these better franchises, you see like the Patriots, that, you know, as soon as you're not useful, you're gone. As, you know, they're not going to overpay you to stay. They'll find somebody younger to do your job, that type of thing. And I really get the feeling that Ryan would like to conduct his business that way. Not so much that maybe – and I think he has started to realize that the player, you know, the relationship side, that type of thing a little bit more. And he's growing with that, just like – some of the mistakes that he had made with last season's roster, the veteran leadership, these types of things that derailed last season, he's tried to address those. Do you think that's maybe like a fair description of Ryan McDonough needing to transition from being more of like an NFL GM to an NBA GM?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think McDonough would make one heck of a fantasy football player, right? I mean, he knows he knows value. He, you know, he'd be on the waiver, the hot commodity to pick up and drop the player who's underperforming. And like I said, I don't necessarily disagree with that strategy. It's just that, you know, the players at least have a sense of brotherhood. They have that sense of being a family. It does disrupt that cohesiveness and you know, just the chemistry when you're swapping players in and out of the roster. So I think there's some things for McDonough to learn there, but I think, you know, I want him to continue looking for the big trade.
Like I mentioned, Ryan did, when I had talked to him and asked him about why the Suns he thought this year were better equipped to make the playoffs, he specifically referenced adding the veteran leadership and depth off the bench and these types of things. And he talked about role acceptance. He specifically mentioned that role acceptance. So you could see that he was trying to learn from some of the mistakes that he made last year, the missteps, things that went badly for the team. And now I know with the bench experience that I had some statistics and stuff I'd like to add, but I know in terms of that bench and maybe the roles there, you had a chance to talk to John Luhr, and you think that maybe he might actually have a chance to play a role for the Suns this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the Suns' hope, and I know it's definitely John Lure's hope as well. He's, you know, he was acquired with the hope that he could provide that spacing from the four spot. You know, he is a very good three-point shooter. He has the ability to stretch the floor, but he's never really had that the right playing style. You know, being on Memphis, especially these past couple years, they don't play the same type of style that the Suns play, and that's what I kind of talked to him a little bit about. Just asked him what he thought his role was going to be, just in case I was misunderstanding what he thought he was going to be doing. But, you know, that's exactly his understanding as well. He wants to be able to just come in off the bench, provide that spacing for that second unit. And, you know, he said he thinks he can do some more things for the Suns as well. But, of course, that is going to be his role. And we all know last year how much the Suns really missed that spacing and are still trying to fill the shoes of Channing Frye. So if Lure can do that off the bench, even in limited minutes, you know, and do it better than Anthony Tolliver did, so, you know, I think it would be a win. He doesn't have to be a great player. He doesn't have to be Channing Frye. He just has to come in and shoot the three well enough to make the defenses respect that and open up driving lanes for the guards.
Between Lure and also Mirza, who I guess Teletovic is having flu-like symptoms, and so hopefully, I don't know about the period that you'd have there in between, so hopefully none of us get sick. I know Dave was complaining about Mirza breathing over him all day, so hopefully we don't run into any of that. Hopefully Dave's not getting his kid sick at the ball game right now. But between John and Mirza, I think the word you'd hope there is that at least one of those two can kind of find a way to fill that role. You know, so you have, you know, two shots at that, I guess, there. And then the other end of it would be to actually have a little bit of depth there at that position so that you can potentially fight back through injuries. And Ryan did. He talked about this the bench depth. But what was interesting to me is when I had asked him, I had actually written an article back in August, and I spent way more time than I probably should have or is probably healthy to look through every single team and go through their bench and find out exactly how many minutes every player on every team on every bench had played in the NBA and the number of games played and the number of minutes played. And I tabulated all that and put together a story with a bunch of pretty charging graphs. And, you know, what I found is that the Suns actually had one of the least experienced bench units in the league in terms of minutes played and games played, as well as also years played in the NBA. And really, between those statistics, the only team that was less experienced in terms of NBA playing time was the Utah Jazz. The Suns had the second least minutes played and the second least games played, and were just a little bit better than that, tied for fourth with a number of years played in the NBA. And the only thing that even brought them up that far, and obviously you can, you know, find ways to parse that in a different way, but was Ronnie Price, his contribution. And I don't think we're really all counting on getting much of a contribution out of Ronnie Price, to be frank. Sorry about that, Ronnie. But now, I was surprised because Ryan, he knew that he had the experience from these guys in terms of calendar years and also basketball experience with overseas play with stuff like Mirza and Sonny Weems, these guys that are more veterans. But were you surprised? Would you find it surprising, Sean, to know that Ryan didn't actually know that in terms of the NBA time? Because he seems like a guy that would be all through all these numbers and have that crunched. And then also, do you think that that's a potential weakness for this team?
Well, that's a really good question. As far as if I'm surprised to know that Ryan McDonough didn't know that specific stat, I guess maybe is my only answer, only because there's so many stats that you could possibly track. He might not have known that specific stat, but, you know, there's no doubt that Ryan McDonough knows that the Suns in general are a very young team. and with in terms of experience and on the court experience. So, you know, it's no different for the bench unit. The bench unit just isn't going to have that much experience. Now, of course, like you were mentioning, McDonough mentions that Teletovic and Weems have had a lot of overseas playing time. It's not the same as the NBA, but it's not like these guys are rookies coming in and, you know, playing for their first team professionally. So they are relatively young. They are relatively inexperienced, especially when you talk about the core group. You know, the core of this team is still very, very young. So I think McDonough's very aware of that. He probably just didn't know the specifics about the young bench. But I don't necessarily think it's going – the bench specifically is going to be any more of a factor than the team in general. I think this team is just growing. They're still learning how to play together. They're a very young group of talented, athletic players that are still trying to find their identity and still trying to find that chemistry as a unit. So I think they are still learning how to play. Not only the starters, the bench will learn. This is still an experience for even the GM. Ryan McDonough is a young GM. You know, Hornacek's a young coach. So in time, I think that the Suns as a whole will progress and mature together. Of course, they're going to have to keep some of their players longer than just a couple of seasons in order to do so.
I agree with what you're saying there with these players, that these guys, they're not rookies. They are professional basketball players. They know what it is to be a professional, you know, even if it's not in the NBA, if it is overseas, that you still, you know, you have certain things where they're going to be able to act in a certain way, comport themselves, and show the rookies the way they should act as professionals. So I agree with that. But in terms of being able to be effective on the court is where I'm, you know, I still have some questions there. Yeah, and Ryan told me past that just with things that they've seen from the way they've looked, from also the way the guys have been working out over the summer and before training camp with the gym time and things like that, he said that stuff, what they've shown them, also gives the Suns confidence in some of those younger players. And one of the guys that he expects big things from this season, and I think, frankly, the Suns are going to need big things from for this bench unit to succeed, to have a scoring presence that can help them out, is a big step forward from T.J. Warren. Do you think T.J. is ready to do that, Sean? Can he perhaps lead this bench unit in scoring and be that spark plug for them?
I think T.J. is definitely ready for that. And you mentioned T.J. leading that bench unit. I wouldn't be surprised if T.J. is not a member of that bench unit for much longer. I actually believe that he will start out on the bench, but I think it's only a matter of time before he will supplant P.J. Tucker in the starting lineup. Of course, the Suns love what P.J. brings as far as his energy and his defense and his versatility to guard many positions, but I just don't think that you can keep a guy like T.J. Warren on the bench if he continues to develop and progress the way he has been. He is an elite scorer. He is just a very unique player who doesn't need to catch the ball on the perimeter in order to score. He has a knack for finding the ball when it comes off the rim, rebounding. He knows how to cut through the lane. And I think the more that he continues to play with this group of players and the more they start to look for him cutting through the lane, he's going to be an invaluable member of this team. And I just don't think they'll be able to keep him on the bench very much longer.
Now, Ryan, in terms of the bench experience stuff, he definitely knows the stats now, Sean, because I made a point to email him the article, a link to that, from what I discussed with him there afterwards. And I also sent him over some stats on the Suns' buzzer beaters. We got into that, talking about that a little bit, and the freakish nature of those occurrences last year, the five overall. And I had put together a little bit of statistical data, some odds and probabilities to briefly go through just how freakishly unlucky that actually was. And we talked about that a little bit, and he said that, you know, I mean, you have all the preparedness, you do all this work, you do everything, and that, you know, is a lot of what goes into it. And you have to, you know, you work really hard, you do all that end of it. But in the end, a little bit of it, just unfortunately or fortunately for you, depending on which side you're on, does come down to luck. he was talking about one of the runs they had with the Celtics, and I forget who he was saying that took the shot in one of the playoff games, but it wasn't a play that they ran, and it wasn't a shot that they wanted that guy shooting. So, you know, it was just something where the play breaks down, and that's who ends up with the ball, and that's what happens, and, you know, it just worked out in their favor. And that's, you know, that's the way things work sometimes, and it can happen the opposite way too. So hopefully we'll have a little bit of luck breaking on the Sun side this season. Now, I know what we'd like in terms of some luck too is A, some health for these two guys, but then B, also hopefully, you know, a dominating defensive presence like the Suns have really never had before with Tyson Chandler and Alex Len in the middle. And I know that you have a story that's going to be going up, and you had a chance to kind of get together with both of those guys on media day, didn't you, Sean?
Yes, I did. In talking to both of them, I just got the sense in listening to the answers from not only Chandler, Len, but also the coaches the coach and Ryan McDonough, talking about just the impact that Chandler is going to have on this team. All of the players seem to mention him at one time or another. And, you know, it seems to me, it's almost a situation just seems too good to be true for Tyson Chandler to come in at this point in Alex Len's development, where it seems like Alex kind of hit the wall last year. He's had some problems with injuries, but even when he wasn't injured last year, he just had some really erratic games. He was up and down, he couldn't get over that hump. He has all of this potential. You can see those flashes, but he wasn't able to put this into a consistent, you know, just consistent play on a night in, night out basis. And I think Tyson Chandler coming in, not only to be this great defensive presence and one of the best all around centers in the league still, but coming in and knowing that half of his responsibility on this team, at least half of his responsibility, is to be the mentor for Alex Len, to make him the franchise center of the future. And listening to Tyson Chandler talk yesterday, he was well aware of that. He had no issue saying that, look, I'm not just here to be a great center. I'm here to develop this guy who is the future. And he had nothing but great things to say about Len. He talked about Len not knowing how good he really is, and once that light comes on, he's going to be an unstoppable force. You know, so he just said all the right things. And, of course, when you talk about that, you also want to get the other perspective. And what does Len think about it? Because Len was the starting center last year. So you kind of wonder, well, how is he feeling about this? But by all indications, Len loves having Tyson Chandler around to really learn from. I think Len was really missing that last year. You know, if you think about especially who he's going up against in practice, last year he had Miles Plumlee throughout most of the season, at least, to really go up against in practice. And that's, you know, Miles is young and athletic and agile, but he's not a big, long, tall body like Len to really bang with in the post. Now Len has that. Len can go hard in practice against Tyson. Tyson can really, you know, show him not only positioning, he can show him technique, footwork. He can tell him how to communicate as a center to help his teammates. So he's showing him all of these veteran things. He's showing him all of this great, great knowledge and experience and helping him develop. And I think this is exactly what Len and the Suns needed.
Now, you know, I'm not sure that I'm quite on the same page with you about the Tyson Chandler as a mentor thing. And, you know, I'm also not on the opposite end of that spectrum, because I know that there was some discussion that perhaps Tyson Chandler could be an impediment, a stumbling block, an obstacle in Alex Len's way and his development by taking that starting position from him. And I haven't gotten the feeling from anything that I've read or seen that Alex Len looks at it that way, to where he's going to mope or pout because his starting position got taken from him. Now, I think the natural progression is going to be for over the next year or two that Alex is, if he improves and earns the playing time, he'll eventually supplant Chandler in that starting role. And Chandler, as he hits 34, 35, you know, he's got a couple years left, but eventually he'll transition to the bench, to the reserve role behind Alex. And, you know, perhaps having Tyson in front of him will help Len give him a little bit more hunger, a little more desire to work even harder, to try to get to that spot quicker, to take that starting position. So perhaps that's there. But, you know, I look at Tyson Chandler's career, and I don't know that he's necessarily had talented players to really work with. And I guess when he was younger, obviously you wouldn't expect that kind of tutelage. But I don't see the you know, Tyson Chandler tree where it's, you know, like a coaching tree where you have all these coaches that come under you. I haven't seen, you know, Tyson Chandler really have other players with him that have, you know, become solid centers in the league, veterans, whatever, with him there. But I do like Tyson Chandler for the team in terms of what he can bring with a veteran presence, everything from that angle. And you said a lot of the players talked about Tyson. You know, I talked with a lot of players. I was able to talk to pretty much everybody except for Markieff, because his bodyguard, you know, steered me away and said that Markieff wasn't doing any private one-on-one stuff. I talked to a lot of the players about expectations, and almost unanimously across the board, a lot of them talked about the work that they did this summer. And we're talking about Alex working to do that. The majority and Coach Hornacek talked about the work that they were doing. And I know Bledsoe was there. Do you think that has a chance to help them? I know, you know, everybody works over the summer, but to me, it seems like with Bledsoe and the shift from last season to this season and everybody that has been there, with the exception of Markieff, it really seems like the Suns have a lot more camaraderie, that they're really trying to build some cohesion more so than all the other NBA teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is the first summer where all of the core unit has really been here the entire time. You know, you look back in the past, last year, of course, we all know Bledsoe was in the contract holdout. Dragic was playing overseas in his, you know, for his country, at least part of that time, and partly being restricted by the Suns on playing time. And Isaiah Thomas, you know, being new. And then, you know, even before that, they never had their core guys here the entire time, really working together during the summer. And that was one of the things, like you said, that was brought up multiple times, is that, look, we've had 10 guys here. I think Hornacek said most of the time we had 10 guys here practicing every day this summer, or not every day, but, you know, on most days this summer, playing pickup games together, really developing that chemistry. And it's not just any guys, it's your core, it's your leaders. It's Bledsoe, and Brandon Knight was here, and, you know, Len was here. And so you have all of these guys working together and really building something before the season. So they're already building that chemistry. And I think that really will pay off dividends for the Suns this season.
Now, we still have some time before we're going to do our, you know, official season predictions, anything like that. But the Suns across the board, they think this is a playoff team. They think they're going to make the playoffs. And if they don't, I think as a whole they're going to be disappointed. That was made very clear to me that's they all think that this should be a playoff team. That's their goal. And, you know, it was a little different 2 years ago. You know, nobody thought this team was going to make the playoffs, and they weren't even going to come out and say it. They, you know, talked about it being a blown year, and, you know, the results on the court might not be the most important results, that they were, you know, doing this, looking past that. And obviously they far exceeded those expectations. Then last year we saw everybody come in, and, you know, everybody was happy-go-lucky. I had the picture up the other day with Isaiah and Eric and Goran laughing at the photo shoot and all that. And, you know, they talked about, yeah, this is, you know, this is our goal, is to make the playoffs. And things really fell apart. So it's tough to gauge. But what do you think about this team's confidence? Is their confidence in the right place? Do you think that this is genuine, or is it bluster and bravado? Do you think that this should be a playoff team, or could be? Is that a good goal for them?
Yeah, I think it absolutely has to be the goal, first of all. You know, anytime you go to a meeting, media day, you know right away that you're going to get a ton of optimism. You know that you're going to get all of the good vibes. Everyone's feeling good. Everyone's happy for the most part, you know. But the thing is, you see that every year, but this this year it does seem a little bit more authentic, if only for the reason that I think the team has grown and has had a little bit of stability. As ironic as that sounds, what I mean by stability now is, like we were just talking about, they've had the summer together at least. You know, Bledsoe has his contract. Brandon Knight was traded for in the middle of last season, never really got going last season, but he knows he's ready to step in and assume some of that leadership responsibility. You have Tyson Chandler here working with Alex Lynn. You know, you have, of course, Tucker, and TJ is in his second year now and developing. You know, they have some more perimeter shooting now from Devin Booker and Teletovich, and maybe even John Lure. Oh, and going back to Booker, that was another reason for optimism, is that, you know, talking to Hornacek in previous, well, last year at least, talking about TJ Warren specifically, and the young players in general, even Archie Goodwin, he would never say anything about expecting them to be an immediate part of the rotation. He would always say, look, we're going to give the young guys a chance. We have a lot of talented players here, but, you know, we'll see if we can get them in when they're ready, and hopefully they'll be able to contribute. But talking to Hornacek and a lot of the different, even Ryan McDonough as well, they both mentioned Devin Booker as just being, even though he's only 18 years old, just being this, you know, great basketball mind who understands where he needs to be on the floor, just knows how to play the game, is always in the right places. And Hornacek didn't seem to make, you know, any hesitation about announcing that Devin Booker was going to be a part of this rotation this season. So it seems like they just have a better feel for the players that they have and who's going to be contributing and how everybody is going to have a part to play and a role to play on the team.
I think I agree with you that definitely should be the goal. It needs to be the goal, and that's good that the players have the confidence and are, as you know, as a whole, all coming out and avering that, you know, that's where they need to be and that's where they're going. I like the unified front there, and I didn't get any kind of hesitation from anybody out of that, and so I thought that's good. But you know, going into it, you know, at this point still, it just still seems like a 35-45 win team. It's the Western Conference, and I just think it's going to be tough for them. And for some reason, the Suns just have this, like, affinity with the 13th pick in the lottery. It's like a planet that has its own gravitational pull, and the Suns just can't quite muster the escape velocity to get off of planet 13th pick. And so, you know, until they prove otherwise, because you have this roller coaster and you get the ups and downs and these crazy loops that you didn't see coming, but then at the end of the day, you end up right where you got back onto the roller coaster. So, you know, until they prove otherwise, I'm just going to, I think, have to stick with my prediction for the season's probably going to end up being Suns pick 13th in the 2016 draft. You know, hopefully that's not what happens. Training camp, we'll be able to see some of this stuff start to unfold. I think for the Suns coming up here over the next couple weeks, this training camp is going to be important because they do have enough new faces. They've changed a lot of stuff wholesale on the bench, and I really think that there's a lot of roster battles and battles that are going to be for minutes to start the seasons. Who's going to be in the rotation? Is that the way you're seeing it, Sean? I think that maybe the only person who's probably got his backup reserve spot kind of sewn up at this point is Alex. I think the starters are pretty much set, but other than that, I mean, those six guys are good, but the other nine guys on the roster are still fighting for their role, aren't they?
Yeah, I'd 100% agree. It's going to be a wide open competition for the most part. And like I said, I think even there's at least one position in the starting lineup that might be up for grabs if TJ can really impress during training camp. Although I do think that Tucker will most likely start the season on the starting unit. You know, who knows? But you know, you're gonna be able to watch players like Devin Booker compete. Archie Goodwin's another one to keep your eyes on. I just know, you know, I asked Hornacek about, or I asked somebody about Goodwin. I don't remember who it was yesterday, but No, it was Hornacek. I asked if Goodwin, you know, if they were going to really still need him to develop that shot in order to be a part of the rotation, or is there another plan for him? And Hornacek kind of said, you know, we're kind of done trying to make players fit a certain type or mold that we want them to be. At some point, you just want to let them be who they are. So I think they're going to try to work Archie into the lineup and use him in the way that he's most useful, which is being aggressive and going at the rim. You know, and will that be enough to supplant a player like Devin Booker, who's brand new, young, and really highly thought of by the coaches? We don't know. And then you have a guy like Sonny Weems, who Ryan McDonough mentioned, Hornacek mentioned. You know, there's a lot of high hopes for this guy. Suns fans are going to think this guy's coming out of nowhere, but he really isn't. He's kind of like a P.J. Tucker in a way, where, you know, going overseas, Suns never lost. I guess they've had their eye on him the entire time, really been impressed by him, you know, brought him here, and he's really made an impression on the coaches and the players as well since he's been in Phoenix. So that's another guy to really watch. How much playing time is he going to get at the small forward position, or maybe at the shooting guard position? You know, so there's a few positions up for grab. You know, who's going to be that backup four? Is it going to be will Teletovic end up playing small forward? Will he play a little power forward to back up Markieff? Will John Luehr find his way on into the rotation and be able to knock down those open shots and stretch that floor? And then, you have the long shots like, you know, Henry Sims and Corey Jefferson and Tarico White. So those are all guys who could just find their way onto the roster if they can really put forth a solid effort and a couple of good performances during the preseason.
You know, I was disappointed because I noticed you didn't mention Ronnie Price in there at all. And I feel bad for Ronnie because I was ripping on him earlier, and now, you know, you're just completely forgotten him. He's just kind of excluded from
Ronnie.
This podcast. And I feel bad for Ronnie. I know that at least Ronnie's mom probably has a Ronnie Price jersey. So the thing for me that I think that I'll be looking at, I know one thing that I want to see is I'm not sure who on this bench unit can – be a wing defender, because I know that PJ is usually the guy that the Suns stick on the opponent's best perimeter player, but I don't know, you know, PJ can't play 48 minutes a game, and so I'm looking to see if the Suns have anybody on the bench that can play passable defense in terms of being a guy that can go out and try to get some stops on one of the team's better perimeter players. So, you know, I'm not sure if the Suns really have that on that bench unit. So, it's something I'm going to be looking for in terms of defense there. I think the Suns have a chance to be an improved defensive team, but I'm not sure outside of, you know, some of the starters, and I think Alex is a pretty good reserve defender as a big. I just don't know whether the Suns actually have any defensive prowess off their bench. I know we had kind of talked about Luehr and Mirza maybe stretching the floor. So that might be a good thing. Maybe TJ, his ability to be a scorer off the bench. Is there anything else that you'd be looking for? You know, some of these guys maybe potentially some playmaking skills, anything that you're hoping that maybe not as an individual but more as a function in the system that you'd like to see, pushing the pace perhaps, something like that, Sean?
Well, yeah, I think you just brought up one of them. You were looking for that defender off the bench, and as I already said, that might end up being PJ, but let's just assume he's going to start. And I really do think that they'll find that guy in Sonny Weems. That seems to be the guy that they believe is going to bring that defense, that defensive energy and that hustle in the same mold as PJ Tucker. They really like his defensive effort. And he could end up being that guy off the bench to really defend, you know, the wings for the Suns. Another guy, you know, if we're talking about some guys just to watch for, you know, Tarico White is just another one of those pogo sticks for legs types of guys. So, you know, you never know. The Suns don't have Gerald Green anymore, but if they're looking to keep around a human highlight reel, maybe there's a chance that he could slip on to the end of the roster just to provide a couple dunks and get the fans back into the game when necessary.
And then obviously the other thing, which would be the, you know, the 900-pound gorilla in the room, the elephant in the room, is going to be Markieff Morris through training camp. You know, he was able to put on his good face for media day. But, you know, we all know with everything that had happened last year that even when all this wasn't hanging over him, Markieff was not able to comport himself in a dignified manner. He had all kinds of trouble, technical fouls, calling out the fans, the assault accusations. So there's a lot of stuff involving Markieff when Markieff didn't have this cloud hanging over him, didn't have the fans that are going to be upset with him, everything else coming into this. So now he's got this, you know, he's got a lot of things circling around him. We'll go with this. Let's do another quick guesstimation on this. I'll see what you think here. Markieff Morris, is he still a Sun after the All-Star break next this season, next February?
I'll say no. I don't think he will be. I think, like I said, I think there's already been some sort of handshake deal agreement in place that, you know, if you stay on your best behavior, it's going to make it that much easier for us to find a team to get a good trade going for you. So I don't think that Markieff has suddenly done a 180 and completely is back on board with being a Phoenix Sun for life. He, you know, I think he's saying all the right things and being a professional like he said he would, but I think he still would rather be on a different team. And I think the Suns, as long as he behaves himself and if he can play well and bring some value back to himself as a player, I think the Suns will be able to move him. Like we all know, Ryan McDonough is not just going to trade away a good player on a great contract for nothing. So my opinion is that no, Markieff will be moved before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I'm going to join you in that thought. You know, I think I said it before that in a way, if Markieff did double back on this, and you could look at it as growing up and becoming an adult and you know, learning his role in things, being introspective and seeing what he had done wrong and trying to grow and change. But on the other hand, I'd almost lose more respect for him if he did just go back and give Ryan a big hug and let bygones be bygones, because his whole thing was this family over everything. And you know, I don't accept your apology and, you know, this is my thing and you've, you know, offended me, blah, blah, blah. It would be like an apostasy from his belief system to just go back. So in a way, I'd almost respect him less for taking such a hard stance as he had and then just like melting, like as soon as he gets off the plane in Phoenix, like an ice cube and just, you know, running back into their arms. I'm so sorry. I can't believe what I've done. So, you know, maybe time will heal these wounds, but I definitely think that's going to still be kind of an uneasy situation during the season. And hopefully it does not blow up in the Sun's face, because if it does, I think a lot of fans are going to be really disappointed with the Suns for letting him stay around until it did blow up. So we'll keep an eye on that. Are you going to be down at the scrimmage Saturday night at Veterans Memorial Coliseum, Sean?
Still to be determined, but yeah, it's possible.
Okay, well, I'm going to be down there. I know a lot of Suns fans are. I think that they've got something set up to where you should RSVP, not because you need a ticket or anything to get in, but they're trying to get a gauge on how many people are going to show up so that they can coordinate everything for everybody to make sure it's a fun time for all. And so, yep, I will be there. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of the fans there. I think this is a lot cooler than the Flagstaff thing up there. We've went to that the last couple seasons. Do you think so, Sean? Is this kind of a cooler thing than the Flagstaff scrimmage?
Well, I think it's a new thing. I kind of liked looking forward to the annual Flagstaff trip to go up there for that scrimmage. That was always a good time. But, yeah, you know, Madhouse on McDowell bringing back some good memories. I'll talk to Dave, and maybe I'll put in for my media request and get up there on Saturday if I can get away from the wife for a night.
Okay, so you must just you liked going to Dave's old dive bar from college, where they still have the world's oldest, grainiest flat screen television. I think it was the first one off the production line ever, and going there to get the hot wings so Dave can rekindle his youth. And no, I'm looking forward to the Madhouse and McDowell. It might be more of like the McDowell Dungeon, but it'll be good to be back there and with guys on the basketball court. So I know a lot of the people that, you know, not that I'm saying I'm old, but a lot of people that can remember going to games back there will maybe kind of get a little bit sentimental with that. So that should be fun. And then, yep, we've got basketball coming up, real basketball. So we'll be able to get into a lot of that discussion more. Anything you'd like to leave us with, Sean, before we sign off?
Oh, no, that's about it. You know, media day already happened. It's officially NBA season is upon us. So there should be a lot of news and a lot more exciting things to talk about. And, you know, we'll start being able to watch these players actually practice and play together for the first time this season. So looking forward to all those things.
And we made it through media day without a hashtag foolishness. So we can keep an eye on that situation, everything moving forward. Thanks a lot, Sean. I appreciate it. I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back at you next week. We'll get these things going regularly now that the season is getting into full swing. This was Jim Kochenour, and this is the BS with the Sun podcast.